If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Talked a lot of Royals today.
Sorry.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We were talking about Ish Masood and transferring. Put out that tweet about 10 minutes ago. And just going back to one of the things that he was talking about when they were playing in New York and Madison Square Garden, that he is at Madison Square Garden. He was playing in the regionals roughly 20 minutes away from where he grew up, where he lived in East Harlem. Maybe with traffic, it's probably longer than that. But you get the point. As the crow flies, you know, not having to deal with New York traffic, that's how far away he was from playing his game. So, who knows where he ends up. Here's Matt Quatrero and J.J. Piccolo.
No, I'm just excited for the season to start. You know, it's a long 6, 7, 8 weeks of spring training and got out of there fairly healthy and, you know, accomplished some things that we wanted to accomplish and got to know the new coaching staff and the players and building some camaraderie, and now we're ready to go. And it looks like we got good weather tomorrow.
What would you like to see this year to know that you're on the right track and the changes you made this offseason?
Just improvement. I mean, you always want to look at team improvement, but that really comes through the form of individuals getting better. We're at a stage with a lot of young players that now they're getting in their second and third years. You're going to start to figure out what type of major league player they are. I think they're very in tune with what they need to do. If they do those things individually, the team's going to benefit. So it's just really steady improvement and getting better every day.
Is improvement just strictly results, or are there other processes that you'd like to see?
Well, you do want guys to tighten up processes and get locked into whatever their routines are, but it is. I mean, it's a game of performance, and guys got to perform. It's the major leagues. There's a level of patience we need to show that we will. But when it comes down to it, players need to perform, coaches need to perform, front offices need to perform. So ultimately, you want it to all come together because we'll all benefit at the end.
Joe. You and JJ, just curious how unique it is to have a battery tomorrow on opening day, that both of whom may end up in the Hall of Fame, very likely will, and the comfort level that gives both of you too.
I know I'm comfortable with it. You know, I mean, with all the stuff that goes with an opening day, and especially for a staff that's very green when it comes to the roles we're in, to have Zach out there, somebody that you know is going to handle it and has done it several times before. And Salvi's, you know, speaks for itself. Like, he's the way the guys follow him in there and look up to him and the energy he brings, it's definitely comforting for me.
Yeah, I would echo those thoughts. I mean, it's neat that they're Royals legends, but they're baseball legends. And it is a pretty unique day to have that. I don't know if I'm sure it's happened somewhere along the way, but, for us, I mean, it's neat. We're proud of it. They were originally signed by the Royals, and here they are late in their career, and they're still Royals. And Zach obviously came back.
This would be kind of for both of you guys. We were talking with Mr. Sherman. He actually used the word vibes. He said the vibes were good. I didn't think he knew much Gen Z verbiage, but he was throwing it out there. And so tell me about spring training. What was the vibe? And he said there was a shift kind of in culture.
Okay. The vibe was good. I mean, no question. But I think we knew that going into spring training. I mean, spring training was the start of putting uniforms on and watching guys get on the field. But there were a lot of meetings prior to getting to surprise that you could feel it on Zoom meetings. We didn't have too many in-person meetings, but a lot of Zoom meetings. And we felt that even going through the interview process, whether it was Q or Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter, Jose Agassiz, all these new coaches we have. But I think what I noticed from a front office perspective, there was an openness, a collaboration that was taking place. Players enjoyed it. There was really good back and forth. And the key to that is whether it's Q or Brian, they're asking people, what do you think? What do you think as a player? What do you think about your career? Where do you want to go? What do you think you need to do? Last night on the plane, we were talking about different lineups, potential lineups. And Q's, I said, look, I don't want to get involved in lineups. He said, yeah, but I want to hear what you have to think, you know, what you have to say. So that creates that vibe, that back and forth where you're going to get on the same page. And there are a lot of times that, you know, we left the office, Q's office, where I said, hey, let's sleep on this and think about it. And then the next morning you come back and we sort of arrived at the same conclusion. So that's where you start feeling like you're in sync. And that was the vibe I felt. I can't speak for Q.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And from a player standpoint, these guys have been extremely anxious to communicate, let us know what they're thinking, what they're feeling, not just with me, but more so with their position-specific coaches, pitching guys, hitting guys, infield. And they're just hungry to work, you know, and it's been really refreshing.
This one for Coach Q here. I'm sure when you came into the season, you had some perceptions of the guys. You did your research on the guys. But what, if anything, what are your biggest takeaways from going through a whole spring with them that kind of surprised you, that's led you to believe something differently than what you may have thought before with the guys that you have?
You know, to be honest, I did not do a ton of background digging on the guys. I didn't want to have my initial impressions be biased by what other people thought. I looked up some stats and just some general background, where they were from, colleges they went to, high school, whatever, that kind of stuff, just to have icebreaker conversation starters. But I didn't want someone else to tell me what to think of them. So I think going into it with that fresh slate, I think that was a benefit to me and to the whole staff. I still had some pleasant surprises from the standpoint of, like, what I just mentioned. It was like the willingness to communicate, the willingness to learn, to be vulnerable. These guys don't have it all figured out, and none of them are pretending that they do. You know, and I think that's one of the things that was really refreshing, was that they've been in the major leagues. Even in the conversations I had in the winter, like, they took some lumps. Some of them had success, some of them didn't. But none of them were happy with, hey, I'm a big leaguer. No, it's, I want to be here for a long time. I want to stay. I want to be better. I want to have a winning team. All, whatever the comments were, those things were really fun to hear.
Pete, Q, you said you didn't look up too much on the players, but what have you thought of Bobby Witt? I know he left for a long time for the WBC. Has he been
anything
different than you expected coming in?
He's been far surpassed whatever his maturity on and off the field for a player of his age is pretty much unrivaled from what I've seen, you know. And he still has that innocence of love for the game, you know. The thing that stood out to me was, we were on the half field out there the day before games started in spring training, and we were just happened to be there at the same time, and he just looked at me and said, I am so excited for tomorrow. And that's day one of a spring training game where he's probably gonna play 4 or 5 innings. But he was serious and he was genuine about it, and that carries over into how he does his work, how he plays the game. And now watching him play, I mean, he came out right out of the gate, hitting the ball hard, working his tail off in the infield. You know, just, it's just been tremendous.
Andy. You have a lot of guys that are making their first opening day roster. Any moments stand out about being able to tell some of those guys that they made it?
Yeah, that was fun. It was, you know, some of those guys, I kind of approached it as, regardless of whether it was their first or their 20th, you know, it's still an accomplishment. It's something to really cherish, because you shouldn't take those for granted. So, you know, a couple of them, you know, like we were on going over to play, I think it was the Padres, and I called a couple of those guys, Massey and Vinny, and that were, yeah, I said, hey, you probably don't have much doubt, but I just want to congratulate you, you're making the roster. And Vinny said, oh, man, you scared the crap out of me calling me in here. And I said, you think I was going to release you or send you down like 30 seconds before the game starts? And then later we got out to the dugout, and Massey said, he said, I don't know where you got that. There was never a doubt thing in my mind, you know, like something like that. But, you know, some of the ones I wasn't expecting, too, was Duffy was really happy. You know, Fran Mill gave me a huge hug, which is, as you can imagine, a pretty impressive thing. Yeah, yeah. But some of, even the veteran guys, you know, and that shows the kind of people there. They're not taking this for granted, you know. Even Zach gave me a big smile and a handshake when he told me he was going to be the opening day starter.
All right, last time I saw you was out there in spring training 5 weeks ago or something. You guys haven't played a game yet. Now you played a lot of these games with the rules. Many of your players have already dealt with these rules in the minor leagues. What have you learned, I guess, over the last 5 weeks or so managing with these rules? And what should fans kind of expect if they haven't had a chance to watch much?
Well, the pace of the game has been tremendously different. You know, I mean, we've had a couple games around 2 hours, a bunch of them in that 210 to 230 range. Even the long ones have been right around 3 hours. So that's a big difference. There's definitely a different feel to as the game's going on. I think, you know, as I've watched the clock, I'm still trying to figure out what I should be watching and where the clocks are and all that kind of stuff. But I've seen pitchers pitching with still 8, 10, 12 seconds on the clock. I think as things count, you'll see that tick down more and more because they're going to want to catch their breath. They're going to want to think things through a little bit more as the pressure or the importance of the situation comes up. But the other thing that stands out is there are way more ground balls that got through the infield. There's just, you know, they're hitting them where they ain't, right? What they used to say. So those are the two things that really stand out.
So I was thinking of your first time in this role tomorrow. Just wonder what you're most anxious for and what end-game possibilities do you think might provide the most anxiety doing for the first time?
Well, I think that without a doubt it's how you run the pitching staff. When you get the guys up, you don't want to get them hot too many times. You want to bring them in for the right situations and put them in a position to succeed. So no question, that's the thing that weighs on my mind the most, you know, having done it at this level. But I think through the communication with Brian and Hoove and Vance and with JJ and those guys ahead of time, you know, we're going to have a plan. You know, it's sometimes you have to deviate from it, so it's just a matter of getting it right.
It's the one thing that probably spring training doesn't really allow you to practice a ton. What has been sort of the cycle of trying to do dry runs of that?
Yeah, you don't do it in spring training. You know, everything's scripted. The guys know when they're going to pitch. You know, I've sat there and thought through it as we're going. What would I do here, whatever? But, you know, you're not acting on it, so it's not the same.
Matt, it's really related, but just opening day, first for many people, and that does include you. I mean, aside from that level of anxiety about it, how do you process what this day will mean to you?
Yeah, to be honest, going through spring training, you don't have a lot of time to process what's coming. You know, it's just a constant, you're in the day-to-day. On the plane last night, kind of sunk in a little bit more on the way back, like, hey, we're there, you know, and then I knew today would be a pretty hectic day, and just trying to wrap my head around all the different things. But that goes in, the comfort comes in knowing that the people we hired and the people that have been here are quality people that are taking care. You've heard me since day one, they're managing their areas, so I don't have to worry about Brian getting the pitchers ready or Hoove getting the catchers ready or whoever it is. Like, I know when we walk out there on the field, those guys are going to be ready.
PJ?
Coach, you talked about players being open to, you know, some critiques and having an open mind. Has that been kind of not a difficulty in the past, but is that a kind of transition that some players aren't as open as others when they kind of make it up from minors up to major leagues?
I think everybody's different. You know, some guys, you know, some guys come, regardless of the level they're getting to, some guys don't want to be considered a work in progress or a project. They don't want to show the vulnerability. But I haven't heard that from anybody in here. I mean, when you look at the two guys that are playing, you know, in the battery tomorrow, those two guys are as open as anybody to making changes. And when you have a 20-year vet and a 13-year vet leading the way in that regard, it's kind of hard for the other guys to not follow suit.
Is having those two kind of ease your mind on your first opening day?
Oh, yeah, 100%. No doubt.
Everybody good? Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
All right. The vibes are good for the Royals as they get ready for opening day tomorrow. Zach Greinke with a big smile and when he was told he was the opening day starter. What did Brady Singer do when he was told he was not the opening day starter? I wonder what that was.
Curse you, WBC!
Tried to fight the rain.
He raised his fist to the air.
Q, looks like you're rocking a shiner. What happened there? I ran into a locker or something. That's weird. Was it Brady Singer's locker? Did he throw you into that locker? What are you going to do? Potato, potato. I ran into it. He tossed me into it. Doesn't matter. And then Fran Mil Reyes gave Matt Quatrero a huge hug when he told him he made the roster, and he said, as you can imagine, what that was like. It was
hug power ranking for me here. Gene Taylor, Fran Mil Reyes.
Gene's a big hugger.
Jerome Tang
Gene's, absolutely.
Living his life to get that Gene Taylor hug.
What about a Roger Goodell hug?
Those are big hugs.
I don't need Roger Goodell to hug me.
Well, I don't need Gene Taylor to hug me. Where are we going with this? Or Fran Mil Reyes.
I'm good.
Okay.
We're playing the who looks or seems like a good hugger game, and I think Fran Mil Reyes, if he's
Roger
giving out
Goodell
hugs.
Roger Goodell has had a, you might not like him, but
he does get a lot of hugs.
A lot of hugs.
Sometimes up close and personal with the face when they take a snapshot there.
One of those Dontari Poe hugs, it's a different category.
Yep, that's right.
Now it's a little XOXO from Roger Goodell.
So we've discussed a lot of things, and we have yet to really discuss, Mick Schaefer's in with us. So we've got
about time you got to me.
ZOUs in the next segment, Royal ZOUs next segment, but what we really wanted to get into and break down was, did you see the video of Kim English, Providence, and Jaden Pierre?
Yeah.
So freshman point guard, for those that didn't see it, freshman point guard at Providence. Ed Cooley obviously takes the Georgetown job. Kim English takes the Providence job. Jaden Pierre puts his name in the transfer portal. Kim English shows up to the gym where the guys are playing and challenges Jaden Pierre in a game of one-on-one to take his name out of the transfer portal, and Kim English wins. So then we started talking off
and he's out now?
He's back now. Well, I think he's out of the portal.
Oh,
right, he should be.
Yeah, he should. I don't know that he's made the announcement yet if he's going to actually hold true to his word because, you know, he is transferring. So
I love it. Good on Kim English, but it seems like a very flippant thing to base a very big life decision on.
But it also could be like, you know what, that was pretty badass. That's cool. Maybe I do want to play for this coach. So we got to thinking in one of the breaks, who would be the best recruiter in college basketball?
Although after Kim English whips this kid, like, wait, do I really want him on the team?
Or Kim
That's
English
what I'm
like,
thinking. Is like, if your coach beats like, you,
do I really want him on the team if I just whipped him?
I thought this was going to be a lot tougher.
Yeah, geez, Louise, maybe you can't. Go ahead. And do you need a ride to the portal? I know that you got to get there. Is it a phone call? I'm not sure.
Kim English is 4 years younger than LeBron.
Who would be the best recruiter in college basketball if you had to play one-on-one to get their commitment?
Meaning if you lost, the best player, basically.
The player goes somewhere else. So who's the best recruiter in college?
John Shires. Because let's at least have some games.
Kim English would be one hell of a recruiter.
Yeah. I think my answer was Penny Hardaway.
Oh, what about Jerry Stackhouse?
Penny Hardaway.
Yes.
But do those guys still have it? Like
Penny Hardaway is 51.
Conditioning-wise, whereas Shire and
tall.
Well, I mean,
Shire and Kim English are great. Shire's a great one.
What are you playing to? I mean, one-on-one to
21 feels right.
21's a lot for one-on-one.
Ones and twos to 15?
I was thinking twos and threes to 21, so yeah.
No, ones and twos to 15.
A lot of times it's ones, make it take it to 11.
That's fine. If you're going to go ones, you're going to go 11.
That's how we played the street ball back at Coldwell.
But now if you've got twos, though, ones and twos to 15. You know, ones, make it take it to 11. Ones and twos, exchange into 15.
No, here's the answer. Mo Williams is the coach somewhere. He's only about 40. I was looking at the list of coaches here in a little bit, and he's one of the names that popped up. Mo Williams is only about 40 years old. Yeah, I can't remember where he's coaching.
Jackson State.
There you go. Jackson State's going to be the new powerhouse.
That's it?
Yeah.
I tell you what, Beard, it's a good call.
Yeah, Mo Williams can win. Dennis Gates would hold his own as a point guard. He still looks
like
he's in good
shape.
These
older guys who have played in the league, it doesn't matter if they're not there conditioning-wise. They know so many tricks of the trade.
West Virginia
would play some old man ball.
West Virginia would have some trouble getting some kids to West Virginia. I mean, I guess I could probably play one-on-one, but I don't know. You can go somewhere else if you want to.
Mo Williams was averaging 8 points per game in 2015-16. That's not that long ago. Yeah. That's a good one, Beard.
Yeah, I feel like that guy could still hold his own against a college player. That's right.
Only 6'1", though. I think your strategy of trying to pick the big men is an interesting one.
Kansas might start to slide back a decent ways
it
in recruiting.
It could be tough.
Several years ago, they did, like, they ranked all the NCAA coaches on their playing ability back in the day. And Self was up there.
Yeah, but
he was up there.
When he was at,
player.
When he was at, like, Old Dominion. Dominion, I would say, you know what, Old Dominion might be a school that can get some players. Wasn't Bill Self at Old Dominion?
He was at ORU.
ORU, yeah, that's right, ORU. Like I said, Old Dominion, Vinny Pasquantino. Is he going to be...
Capel at Old Dominion? Or his dad was?
Quatrero was at one point. But Oral Roberts. Hey, Oral Roberts might be getting these, getting some good players with this Bill Self guy. You know, Tulsa might be getting some pretty good players with this Bill Self guy that's there. But yeah, I think you should probably, if it comes down to like 50-50, like this kid's deciding where he's going to go.
Miami's getting nobody. Larinaga.
Well, Ruiz is just going to pay him. John Ruiz is just going to pay him since he's getting right. Sports Center spots at frickin' 12-15.
Syracuse, man. But they're going to get somebody else now. They got to get somebody young.
Yeah, they're just going to go hire Steve Nash.
No, they've already hired their assistant.
Yep. Oh, they didn't.
They've already hired their assistant, Rodney Terry. I mean, how would he fare at Texas?
And their assistant played there. I remember him. He was a really good player. Syringe just banging his head against the radio right now, saying the guy's name.
I know his name. Tell Fowler I can hear him. He's Beano Cook just yelling into a microphone. But yeah, I think Dennis Gates will hold his own. You know what? Musselman might actually injure you. So if you go one-on-one against Musselman, you actually did, break your ankle.
Just because he's crazy or something?
Just because he's crazy. Yeah, you'll go up for the shot, and he will just chuck you from behind and just push you. Sorry, man. No blood, no foul, right?
Nobody said shirts and skins. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
I got skins. Sorry, Josh.
That's okay.
Sorry.
I got to play through contact.
Yeah, sorry. I talked over that one. Yeah, you might get injured there. Nate Oates would let you, just foul anybody you wanted.
Oh boy.
Just is that a foul? Didn't see it. Go ahead and play.
Charge now. You're just wrong place.
No, he was defensively in the wrong place, wrong time. The official's letting him play. So the official says he doesn't have to sit out. It's fine. The foul wasn't even on him. He actually handed the foul off to somebody else. He did nothing wrong.
How tall is Mo Williams?
Mo Williams is what? 6'1". 6'1"?
Yeah, I'll stick with my Stackhouse one. I'll stick with Stackhouse.
Although he's
probably mid-40s by now.
Yeah. Did remind me, because Stackhouse was like before I started actually following. Did he have like knee injury stuff where he had to leave?
He played for a long time, but I don't remember.
Jerry Stackhouse in 2013
lasted longer than I thought I did. Never mind.
Was averaging 5 points, one rebound, and one assist per game.
It's not bad because he was playing college basketball in the 90s. Yeah,
as a 38-year-old.
Yes.
38-year-old in 2013.
So he is pushing 50.
Yeah.
Wow. He's still my answer.
You're going to go with Stackhouse. He's 48 right now.
Because Penny's got to be older, right? Penny's
I think he's
50,
51.
Right?
They're better NBA players.
51, yeah.
But...
Kim English might actually be the right answer.
Might be.
Shire.
I was way too judgy.
Shire.
John Shire.
Shire's a great one.
Or Kim English. Very good answers.
Yeah. Cal's not going to do well.
No.
He's just going to scream and yell at the official every time.
Do we have a definitive winner out of the Big 12? If we narrow the field down.
Oh, man. Otzelberger looks like he's in great shape.
Oh, that's a good point.
He'll want to box people out.
Did he play? I legit don't know.
Looks like he played football out of the Big 12, a definitive
Big 12,
winner.
Yeah. Scott Drew, no. Bill Self, no.
He played at Wisconsin Whitewater for three years.
Of course he did. Otzelberger is totally a Wisconsin Whitewater player. You can see it.
I don't know. I don't know Rodney Terry's background
Boyton,
or age.
You know,
Boyton's young.
Your boy.
Boyton's spry, absolutely. A little shorter, right? Not as tall as you might want. In this imaginary drill we have going.
This imaginary reality.
Porter Mosier's in good shape, but older.
Yeah, I'm not going to go with Porter Mosier.
Tang's in good shape.
Yeah. I mean, but Boyton played at South Carolina.
In late 90s.
You got a point guard at South Carolina.
I believe he was on that 2 seed that lost to Coppin State in like 98.
I'll take Huggy Bear. This is stupid.
That's just by intimidation alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine.
Missed the shot. Okay.
Nobody's coming down the lane with Huggy Bear there.
Exactly right. That's exactly what I was going to say. Imagine Bob Huggins just feet planted in the lane right in front of the circle saying, go ahead. Yeah, no, come on. I'll be right here.
And the guy, he's...
It's going to be like the scene in Kung Fu Panda.
Where you're already right!
It's just...
I'm out. I don't know.
It's just the tummy bounce. And just the defender, the offensive player goes flying back.
But here's the counter to that. So pretty good players, so they pull up from 15 feet and they just knock down the jumper.
Then
Huggins doesn't score. I'd say probably Mike Boynton or TJ Otzelberger. It's probably the right answer with that. And I'm going to go Boynton is the right answer. Oklahoma State powerhouse in the Big 12.
And if you drive Bob Huggins, you're going to go boinging away from him. off his belly. Kung Fu Panda. Good movie.
I mean,
great movie.
Let's take the break and try again. And you can try that one again after the break. We got ZOUs coming up.
Show you Kung Fu Panda during the break. It's going to change your life.
I don't think that's right. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. ZOUs next.
Mick Schaefer in the Zone is brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon, home of the two-story biscuit sandwiches from Denver Biscuit Company all morning, New York-style hand-tossed pizza all afternoon and evening from Fat Soli's, and 20 beers on tap all the time. Experience it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Mick, you're a big Diamondbacks fan. It was the Pirates that they were facing off against last night.
I love D-bags, not D-backs.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, time for some ZOUs where I am way too confident always, and I end up paying for lunch for Royals. And then when it comes to the Chiefs, way too confident, and I don't pay for lunch.
I'm
because
just going to look at my phone here. Can I do under on everything?
Yes, you can. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and write you down for under. All right, so me and Briscoe and Beards and Mick, a little ZOUs with the Royals, and we will go ahead and get started. We rotate as to who starts first.
It makes sense.
I have not actually written any of these down, or at least my picks for any of these, so I'm going to be on the fly with you guys too. We'll start on the pitching side. Look, nothing written down.
Wow,
except
like me
for
starting
the actual
fact or fiction,
except for the actual over unders, totals, whatever you want to call it. All right, we start on the pitching side. Zach Greinke, we're going with wins for Zach Greinke. Ooh, the number is 7.5. Last year we were very smart and put it at 11.5. He had 4. So we are going with 7.5 wins for Zach Greinke. I think it's more realistic than the 11.5/12 we had last year. I think the 4 wins, and he was playing on a bad team. I think he got to the 5th and 6th inning. He should have had a number of more wins. I'm going to play the odds here, and I'm going to go under with Zach Greinke in the 7.5. Josh, where you at?
I'm going to go over. And it's going to be totally incongruous with a lot of other things I believe, but that just seems too low, and I'm staring at 4-9 last year, and I just can't talk myself out of it. I want the over. I'm taking the over.
Mick, 7.5 total wins for Zach Greinke.
Him starting on opening day is going to get him an extra start towards the end of the season. So I'm going to go over. I think he swung the right way, but maybe it swung too far there. Wow. He's got more than 7.5.
Beards?
I'll go under.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
I think Beards might legit take every under.
The first one, all of a sudden, I'm the pessimistic guy. And Mick's like, over! 12 wins for Zach!
I'm just going to point out, to start the year, he's going to be 39. He's going to be 40 by the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but is that 40 wins he gets this year? That would be great. It might be a record.
That might be a record.
I'm not even going to look, but I think it might be. I'll look it up. Jordan Lyles, ERA for Jordan Lyles this year. We're going to put it at 4.1. Over-under, a 4.1 ERA for Jordan Lyles this year. He's had a number of years right around that. Last year was a 4.4. But with the Royals, bigger ballpark. Briscoe, we start with you.
I guess I'm not taking every under from here on out because I'll take the over.
Over on that. Mick?
Yeah. When I say under, just the negative for each one. I'm going over on 4.1.
Beards?
Also the same thing.
Okay, so
that's bad.
That one's not going to matter. We all went over on that one. I'm going over with that as well. I could have
made it matter,
but I'm not that confident. I think he might end up right around there, but I'm not confident that he's going to end up with like 4.05 or something like that. All right, Brady Singer. We're going Brady Singer ERA. Mick, we'll start with you. We're going to go with right at 3. Over under 3. When he got called back up to the Royals, his next 23 starts, he had a 2.8 ERA.
Okay. Yeah.
So does Singer, over the course of the full season, end up with a sub-3 ERA for, I think, the first time for a Royals pitcher since, like, 2015, 16, something like that?
Yeah, my answer is no. It's going to be over. I like your cute little stats, but over.
Beards, what do you say?
Weird baseball rules this year. It's going to be over.
Over. That's a good point. I am going to go with the under. There's my my optimism.
If we pick the exact same and it hits, can we just win everything? Like, can we be exempt from, like, not paying even if we're last?
If you're right about everything, you're probably not going to be
like
last.
3 point, if I say he's going to hit 3.00.
Oh, so we actually have
exactly,
to pick
yes,
one.
Yes.
Oh,
so,
you can say over, under, or exact.
Exact, yes.
I like exactly and 7.5 wins
up
for Greinke.
You don't lose. You don't have to pay on a ZOU for the next year if you hit it exactly.
I'm going to go Jordan Lyles exactly 4.1 yes, and Singer exactly 3.
No, I'm still going over.
I went under.
I love
Josh.
Your stat from when he got called up last year. I just think we see a little regression from that. I'm going
to
say over.
Love your stat to justify your unfettered. Homerism.
All right, so I am the only one on the under with that. So let's go Brady Singer. I am a Brady Singer fan. I will yell at the clouds with you, Brady.
Yes, yeah, scream with the rain. Yes,
that's right. Scott Barlow saves. He had 24 last year. The caveat and the rule with this is even if he gets traded, those saves on that team will count. But if he gets traded somewhere to be a setup man.
Sure. Sure, sure, sure.
So the over-under, he had 24 last year. We're going 24.5. If we think the Royals might be better, maybe they have a few more wins. 24.5 over-under for Scott Barlow. We start with Beards on this one. Beards saves for Barlow, 24.5.
I'll go under.
Under for you. I am going to go under. Briscoe.
I'm going under also. Mick, take the over.
This one's not going to matter.
Take the over, Mick.
I already wrote down the under for Mick.
He just gladiator thumbs down.
I believe I laughed
which
at your pick last year.
He picked the over because it was reversed.
Yes, Mick. Mick took the under. He was right on this one.
Should we change that to like, let's change it to like 19. Does that change?
Yeah, maybe, probably. Yeah.
Let's do 19 and a half.
Okay, let's move it. Move that line.
Wait, does everybody go over?
19.5?
I'll still go under.
I'm still going to go under also.
Yep. I'm going over.
There we go.
Where are you going, okay. Beards?
I said under.
Oh, wow. Okay, so now I'm...
That feels like a free point for Jason. I don't like what happened there. He's earned by five
but
saves.
But if he gets traded to the Mets, is he immediately the closer, or is he there with Robertson and Raley and Ottavino and those guys? And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, he ended up with 18 saves.
I'm just going to assume those are guys in the bullpen with the
Mets. I just
Mets
made
right
them
now.
Up.
I just know it's not the trumpet guy anymore.
But if Jericho comes up for the Mets, then you got to watch out for him.
The former wrestler?
Just totally made up that name.
Walk around him seven times, and he'll go down easy.
All right, this is one of those to where we...
nothing from Beards on that one. That's so disappointing. That was a joke for Beards.
We did this with the Chiefs as to who the leading receiver was in yards, not named Travis Kelce. Who leads the Royals in starts this year? Games started. Who leads the Royals in starts this year? It starts with me. I am going to go with Lyles.
Ooh.
Leads the Royals in starts. Briscoe to you.
I'm just going to say Brady Singer.
Singer?
Because what I want to happen. That's what I want to happen. Because you said Lyles and it made me a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
We also took it over on Greinke wins.
Been
so
relatively healthy the last year in his major league career. I'm going to go with Brady Singer.
Singer? Okay. I like that one too. Beards? I don't like Briscoe's choice of Singer, but Mick, great call.
Mine was good.
Great call on the Singer.
To piggyback it, but to introduce it, no.
Terrible.
Looking at the starters here.
Come on, go Daniel Lynch.
Don't say Daniel Lynch.
Go Kowar.
Don't say Jackson Kowar.
Go Keller.
Don't do that either. Chris Bubich, Beards.
Scratch that Bubich. Come on, you want to go there.
Beards, let's say Scott Barlow leads the team in starts. Is it starts?
Sure, I'll go Bubich just for fun.
Whoa, don't do that.
Just for fun.
No,
that's a loss, Beards.
Somebody's buying.
Well, somebody may think he's not going to have to buy.
Yeah, no kidding.
He may not be here to buy.
All right.
All right, we move to the offensive side.
We'll still have his number.
Bobby Witt Jr., combined home runs and stolen bases. 59.5.
Whoa.
Oof.
Combined.
Did we have him last year?
We did. He hit the over. He had 50. Think, 20 home runs, 30 bags last year, something like that?
What did you set it at again this year?
59.5.
So we're talking about 30-30 here. I mean, not directly, but it could be 30-30.
It could be a 30-30. Maybe he has 25-35. You know? Bigger bases. You got a pizza box base out there now.
Do you like the pizza box bases?
You know? Guys can't throw it a first as often.
Who's this to first?
This goes to Briscoe first.
I'm gonna take the under just out of fear. If I lose, I won't care. I'll be thrilled.
Yeah, that's exactly that. Thrilled. Emotional hedge for you.
Yes, sure. Yes, yes.
I would buy lunch for the Royals to make the playoffs. Absolutely.
Well, that's not on the table, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm going the under. I mean, hope is really springing eternal across.
You are a pie in the sky type of guy.
I'm
tell you
under.
What, that's pie in the face of everybody in the sky.
You go 25-30 and hit the under here. I'm okay with that. I feel okay.
Beards?
I'll go over.
Yeah!
Whoa.
Believe.
Well, you know I'm going over. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I got to.
Come on, I'm going over on that. Salvi home runs. This is the only one that Vegas actually had a line for all of the ZOUs. The Chiefs were great because the Chiefs ZOUs, Vegas had lines on almost everything. The only line that Vegas has with the Royal is Salvi home runs. They put it at 28.5. Mick, we start with you.
Oof, what was he last year?
23 in 114 games last year.
I'm going to go under.
Under for Mick Schaefer. I should have written that down.
Yeah. Beards? I'll also go under.
Under. I'm going to go over.
Tell me the number one more time.
28.5. You know, you had 20 more than that just a couple of years ago.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Hey, look, set this land at 47.5.
Played all the games.
Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to...
He's also only gone over 20.5 once.
But if he doesn't have another Timmy John surgery...
I'm going to take the under, reluctantly.
Okay, wow. Okay, so
but
I
But again,
am,
you know, if...
I am a Singer fan, I am apparently a Barlow fan, and I am a Salvi home run fan. I can dig that.
Yeah, this is a good way to live your life.
All right, so we got Vinny Pasquantino. We are going to go home runs for Vinny P. We've got home runs for Vinny P at 24.5. 24.5 for Vinny Pasquantino. And I believe we start this one with one Mick Schaefer.
I'm going to go over.
Over for you.
I was going to get to be the contrarian.
Nope. Beards. To Mick this time. Vinny. VP.
Pasquatch.
I'll go like a slight under.
I'm writing down slide under. It still counts the same, though.
Yep.
I'm going to go under.
Wow. I'm going over. Me and Mick love Vinny Pasquantino.
Go.
You and Mick are either going to split lunch or enjoy somebody else giving you lunch.
So we've got, what are you, 10 last year? Is that right? Have you seen that right?
In like, 70 games?
In 72 games, about 300 appearances.
You're looking at about 20, 24, right around there is what he would pace for. Okay. MJ Melendez OPS. That's on base plus slugging, Mick.
Two stats put together.
Not batting average. MJ Melendez OPS at 750. Can MJ Melendez OPS at 750?
I'm going last
to give you a heads up, last year he OPS'd at 706.
Mm-hmm.
Can he increase 25 points his on base and slugging to get to at least 750? Or even less than that. 706. So 25 points of each. We start with Beards.
So Baseball Reference has got him projected at 716. I'm going to trust Baseball Reference on this. I'm going to go under.
Under for you. Me, I'll go over. Briscoe?
Under.
Okay. Mick, I'm writing under for you. is it written
for
down?
For Mick, just write, did not understand question. Yep.
All right. And last two, we'll go quick through these. I'll lead off. Wins for the Royals, 72.5. I'm not going 69.5. I think most everybody's going to go over with that. 72.5 on the wins. I will go, this is going to be a surprise. I'm going to go over. Briscoe?
72 feels perfect, so I'm going to say under.
Okay. Mick?
I'm going to go over.
Look at you. You love this team. Beards?
72.5.
That's 8 more than last year.
I'm predicting 72 exactly.
But that's all really only like 1.2 more wins per month.
It's like two random things.
I'll go under.
Under for you. Okay.
Yes, don't believe.
And last but not least, just a simple yes or no. Will one of the younger players sign a long-term deal at some point during the season?
Mm.
Has to be during the regular season. The day after the season's over doesn't count. Will one of the younger players, Witt, Melendez...
What if it's tonight or tomorrow?
Pasquantino, then that counts.
Okay.
From now until
the
last day of the year, will a younger player sign a long-term extension? We start with Briscoe.
Yes.
Yes, Mick?
Do we get bonus points if we get it right? If we pick the player?
Let's do that one.
I want to say yes, Pasquantino.
VP. Mick? Put no for you.
I'm going to go no. Yeah, just because I think it's the only option is going to be Witt.
If Mick and I tie, this is my tiebreaker.
So there's just one option. I'm going to go with no.
What player is the no? Beards?
Yes, I'll go with Bobby.
Bobby Witt. Oh, that'd be great. I am going to go yes with Vinny Pasquantino.
Okay.
I'm going to go yes, VP.
Copier.
Gets the job done. All right. We'll see what happens with that. ZOUs, they are set. They're
you
on my computer.
You guys have watched this team before, right?
Don't look at me when you say
we're
that.
We're on the same
boat here.
What year?
See, I don't emotionally hedge. If I'm paying for lunch, that means they sucked.
Yeah, that's worse.
I know.
That's
the worst of all outcomes.
Yeah, I'll go get some Johnny's and commiserate.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and We won't let him continue to ignore what's happening over the next couple of days.
Thank you.
We will not let him do that. There's a reason somebody may not have to pay for lunch around here if they lose a ZOU. We'll tell you about that coming up next.
Mick Schaefer's brought to you by Atomic Cowboy Sports Saloon. As seen on Food Network, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food, try it today at 42nd and Pennsylvania in Westport.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
You're dumb, but you're not stupid.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, so we had mentioned when we went to break that somebody here may not have to pay for lunch in the ZOUs if they lose.
Wow.
And that is one, Beards McFly.
I also don't have to pay for the Chiefs ones that we never got around to doing.
That's a good point, too.
That's a great point.
That's a great point. Nice job. Good for you, sir. Beards, why? Why is there a chance that
you will not Beards, have to pay? Why?
Why,
well,
Beards?
Josh, this is going to be a surprise to you.
Why?
Yeah. Friday's my last day here.
What?
Friday?
What?
Here in, like, the control room. You're getting a new control room.
You're moving into the studio.
Yay!
No, not quite.
New host.
New host, who dis? Beards, what's the deal? What's going on, man?
I've got a part-time job. I've mentioned that a couple times before, and I'm going to be going over there to work full-time.
So. I thought this was the part-time job.
Well, it depends.
You said the part-time job's becoming full-time. I'm like, yes, we're getting Beards full-time.
We don't all treat it that way, Jason.
Oh.
No.
Sorry. Okay, great.
Beards, speech. Crowd of people in the studio with
me. That's right. Your family is here.
Your lovely bride is here.
We've got a cake that's got a beard.
Let's try it. That's actually
real hair that was donated.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that's
on the cake.
I've actually been breaking into Beards' house and just collecting little bits over the years. We finally found a cake for it today.
We have built this. Go ahead, Beards.
Yeah.
I've had a really good time working here. I've been able to see a lot of different stuff. World Series baseball team. I started interning here in the spring of that year, and then I was hired in September, so I got to see all of that. Two wins. That's been fun. I've been around doing a lot of just random stuff here, and I have enjoyed every second of it.
Yeah, and you got to hang out on post game with the Super Bowls.
Yes, all night. Got to enjoy that.
Yeah. Now we have loved having you. I know that you and Briscoe around longer than the 5 minutes you've spent with me in the Zone. but it's been a blast. It's been fun. Loved your energy or lack thereof sometimes that's on the show, and the things you brought to it. So you will be missed. You'll be missed, and we'll try to find somebody to fill your shoes. You filled Shane's shoes great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
all I needed to hear.
Yeah. I mean, it was really open-toed sandals, so it's not really. They weren't Hey Dudes or anything.
You crammed your feet into Shane's tiny, tiny shoes so admirably.
That's right. Little dainty shoes that you were able to fill out. Your shoe bursted through like you were wearing, you were Banner wearing shoes, and just somebody made you mad, and you busted through like you were Hulk.
Okay, now so. Cry.
Beards, your family is here.
Yeah,
that was a surprise.
Good. Yes. Okay, that's good.
Yes, that's right. And they all have beard sticks.
Yeah.
You know what sticks that have a beard on it, so we can celebrate Beards. We're going to celebrate Beards. We're going to have a party here at 2 o'clock. It's open to the public.
Beards will be signing autographs, kissing babies just out front. Just get here out into the parking lot.
That's right.
Have a nice conversation with Beards.
That's right. I think it's perfect, though, in the final day that we're all here, because I'll be at the Final Four tomorrow and Friday. You'll be
that's going to be a perfect send-off on Friday when it is nobody here but me.
It might be you and Mick.
That's what we were joking about. You know, we're like, well, we can't do that. We can't send him off when he's all by his lonesome. So it's perfect, though, that you've got the Chiefs hat backwards and a Star Wars hoodie.
Yeah.
On the last day.
It was like you came dressed in your appropriate uniform. Yeah.
Yes. Beards, dress up for this going away party we're having. You know what? Just dress like you would.
Yeah. You are in character.
Dressed up.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like Doug.
I've only worn this hoodie twice since I've washed it. I can rock the Star Wars.
Beards, I don't think you smell.
It's no big deal.
I'm not going to slander you that way.
Do I smell? Because Shane, Corey, now Beards.
Mm.
Josh, you going anywhere anytime soon?
Yeah, so, thing about Beard... No, I don't...
You're taking over Beard's job.
That's going to be what I do. I'm going to actually just follow Beard's around, document his travels, and I'm going to become a full-time vlogger.
Jason, I'm here forever. It's the best part of my life.
Thank you. You and me both. You and me both. I don't care what people say, and I'm not going anywhere.
By the way, Mick, I've been meaning to ask you, do you want to take Beard's job?
I'm in. Let's go.
Yes! The show's saved!
We definitely don't need Josh to be running the board because we've had him back here before with the new system.
No,
it is a mess.
There's one common denominator on the turnover on the show.
And he's sitting across from me.
Me? Or
it's like there's a hold on,
Mick?
Guys. I'm,
oh, Jason.
I'm being spoken.
Corey, now Beard.
Teicher?
Is there a specter in here?
What's the common denominator? I don't know what it is. I don't know. Shane, are you available to leave traffic to come back and take over for Beards?
Could you hop back there next few days?
I didn't know this many people worked at 810.
No, well, it's mainly family.
They're here.
Yeah, there's like five people that actually... Okay, yeah, there's five. Well, that's the thing.
A lot of people are here, not that many work.
It's Beard's going away party, so the sales staff is here past noon.
Jeez.
So, I joke. I'm just joking. I will take that endorsement, though. If you have some extra talent, though, by the way, I'm just joking.
I'm not going to say anything nice about Beards until Friday. That's my new judgment.
First time.
Yeah, I'm going to break the seal for the first time on Friday. Okay. Not sooner.
No, two times. The first time was when I left AES.
Yeah, that was true. I was even more mad at you then.
Well, I am going to miss seeing your face. Your bearded face.
The top half of it.
Yep, we haven't seen the whole
thing. That's right.
I've never seen Beards' chin, believe it or not.
No, I haven't either, so. Love you, Beards. We'll miss you. We'll say more about you on Friday.
Mother bleeper.
Love you, Beards.